Friday, October 29th, 2021, and this is No Turning Back with Shannon Young. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me once again this week. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight. And tonight we have a couple of things to talk about as we head into Halloween. And if you're listening to this after the fact, happy Halloween, or before, happy Halloween. Normally we do this show on Saturday, but due to my personal schedule this weekend, there's absolutely no way I'm going to be able to do this on Saturday. So I figured I would do it on Friday. I'm actually doing this before I head into my 9 to 5. After my 9 to 5 tonight, we're heading right to Double H's house. So we have our annual Halloween party up there for the cast and crew of Podzilla 1985, which is my other podcast, which if you're listening to this, I'm assuming you already know about. That's probably how you got here in the first place. And then tomorrow in the morning, I have a community outreach program that I'm doing from 12 to 5. And then directly from there, it's over to Cape Championship Wrestling, where you may or may not know, I am a performer and agent and writer and all these other things. And not only will I be working on the show as a whole, but I have a hardcore match with one Osby Tomlin, which I may or may not survive. Of course, we don't want to insult your intelligence here. Of course, pro wrestling is scripted, as we have a show on Podzilla 1985 called Pro Wrestling Unscripted. But anyone that knows wrestling, if you're in the business, you know that you could get hurt at any point. I was actually telling a coworker the other day, I've seen people jump off of scaffolding. I've seen them go through tables. I've seen them be bashed head to toe with weapons and never, you know, end up walking away just fine. I've also seen people tear their quads just stepping into the ring. So this may be the last show we do. Hopefully not. Although, so quick story, over on Podzilla 1985, I'm sure there's a lot of people that would like this to be the last show. I'm sure they don't care for me and my smug voice. Over on Podzilla 1985, I saw that we had a new review on one of our episodes that simply called us smug people. Garbage people, I'm sorry. And we were smug for patting ourselves on the back over social justice. And I think that's telling in this day and age that trying to stand up for what's right and, you know, the quote-unquote social justice to a lot of people in the country, being fair makes you smug. Being a good person makes you a garbage person. So I will proudly wear that label. Whoever listened to the show and decided to comment on that, if you're listening to this, thank you. And I hope we can get that kind of attention for this show one day. It took me 6.5 years to get someone to finally call us garbage people over on our sister network. So hopefully this one won't take half as long. Let's jump right into it, and we're bringing it back from last week. It's a controversial title, but it's one that I truly appreciate, and this is where we jump into the F words of the show and earn that explicit rating that we have on Spotify, which, by the way, we're on Spotify now, so hopefully you're listening to us on there. I do plan on putting this on iTunes and everything that you can find Podzilla 1985 on eventually. The bad thing is I don't do that normally. Jesse Kimball did that for us for Podzilla 1985, and he is not working with me on this show. This is entirely me until I bring some kind of staff on, so I'll have to figure it out myself. But point is, motherfucker of the week, Ted Cruz. You probably, this is not a shock, Ted Cruz is also a garbage person, and I think he's the Zodiac Killer. If you believe what you read on the internet, and I do believe everything that I read on the internet. Ted Cruz at a school board meeting, Ted Cruz defended a parent that did a Nazi salute. Ted Cruz, who defended the Nazi salute, did not defend kneeling during football games as a peaceful protest, decided that was okay, that Nazi salutes were all right, that they were protected under free speech, did not condemn the Nazi salute itself, only condemned the people that were condemning the Nazi salute, which makes a lot of sense. But again, whenever, you know, Colin Kaepernick and other players were kneeling in protest and peaceful protest of police brutality, Ted Cruz didn't seem so willing to defend that. And that just reminds me of the party lines in America when it comes to politicians and when it comes to American citizens. They're so ridiculously skewed. I mean, it's almost comical how Republicans will defend Republican things and Democrats defend Democratic things, or left with things and right things, I should say, because it's all Democratic technically, I think. But it's comical how far they will go in defense of their party. And this is why I've always said that a two-party system is ridiculous. And I said we talk about this more eventually, and I will, I promise. But the fact that we have a two-party system in the United States, which is built on so many diverse backgrounds and so many people from different cultures, and you're really telling me that we can rope all that into two specific categories of left or right. Yeah, I mean, of course, there are people who are neither left or right. They're independents. I myself am independent, despite what you may read on the internet. But the people that do go left, the people that do go right, are so obsessively defensive over their party stances, even in things that make absolutely no sense. Like, there's no reason at all that kneeling for a football game or during a sport should have been so controversial. It is a peaceful protest. It is their right to do that. If Ted Cruz thinks that it's this parent's right to give a Nazi salute to, and clarification, apparently the person that was doing the Nazi salute was protesting a mask mandate, and they were insinuating that the people doing the mask mandate were Nazis, so that's why they did the Nazi salute. But still, was it their right to do the Nazi salute? It absolutely was. And I know there's a lot of people that are condemning it. Of course they should, because, I mean, the Nazi salute obviously carries some weight to it. I don't know if you know your history, but it was absolutely their right to do the Nazi salute, just like it's absolutely Colin Kaepernick and, you know, these other athletes' rights to kneel during a football game. That is an American right. That's free speech. It's protected. But the left and the right are so quick to condemn and defend opposite views and their views to the point of it's almost comical. I don't understand a society that falls into two categories. You can have your beliefs, and those beliefs can vary, and they can go across a wide spectrum of, you know, conservative and democratic or liberal. Mine do. I'm not going to get into my personal beliefs right now. I've done it a million times on the show, and it never ends well. But I have beliefs that fall on the left. I have beliefs that fall on the right. I think it's important to be an independent person. I don't see why independent isn't the, you know, political class choice of every American citizen, because you have to be independent. You judge every person, every candidate, every politician on their views, not on what party they represent. I have voted Republican. I have voted Democrat. I vote for whoever makes the most sense. Ted Cruz, he ain't making no sense to me, and he hasn't for a very, very long time. And that's why Ted Cruz is our motherfucker of the week. Congratulations. Expect nothing in the mail. I move on to another real motherfucker, and that's Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson, you may know him from the highest rated program on Fox News. Tucker Carlson Does Something, I think is the name of it. You may also remember him from that epic clip from CNN's Crossfire when Jon Stewart absolutely tore him apart in what led to the cancellation of that show. Well, Tucker Carlson, who has been spouting nonsense for years now and has really, really caught his stride in the wake of the whole Trump impeachment and you know, the unfortunate support for that madman, Tucker Carlson has really dug into that and really exploited that side of things. And now he is out with a new documentary, or at least it's coming out, that explores the January 6th Capitol riot, which, hey, I'd be interested in watching that. The January 6th riot is one of the, I think, defining moments of our lives. When, you know, history looks back at this time period, they're going to look at that as something special. I mean, not for good reasons, but it is going to be something memorable. So I would be interested in watching more documentaries on January 6th. As I said, I think last week, I watched it live. I was at work at Gaming Grounds. I was still manager over there for my 9-to-5. And throughout the day, we just watched the January 6th riots as they happen. And I took it to heart, man. I mean, that really got to me. I've never been a flag waving super patriot, but at the same time, I don't hate America like a lot of people seem to. I like America quite a bit. I think it's a great country. I think it's a country with real potential. If we could get rid of the insane and the greedy and the blatant assholes like Tucker Carlson. But Tucker Carlson's documentary on January 6th It claims to be the true story behind January 6th and the War on Terror 2.0 and the plot against the people. This documentary suggests heavily that the Capitol riot was a false flag operation orchestrated by the government. It insinuates that the United States government is waging a domestic war on terror against half of the country. It says that we're dealing with it. Where's the quote here? Yeah, this is from Tucker Carlson Tonight. When Carlson was introducing this documentary, he said that this documentary will answer a lot of the remaining questions regarding the Capitol riot. And he says, our conclusion? The U.S. government has, in fact, launched a new war on terror. But it's not against Al-Qaeda. It's against American citizens. Which is absolutely ridiculous. I don't know if Tucker Carlson was watching, or a lot of these politicians were watching the same Capitol riot that I was watching, because what I was watching was a storm of people waving Confederate flags, dressed up like Vikings, attacking police officers, threatening to kill Nancy Pelosi and Mike Pence, putting up gallows in the front lawn. And whether or not they actually planned on hanging Nancy Pelosi or Mike Pence or anyone in Congress is maybe not. Thank God they never got the chance. And the one person, as they got closer to it, who tried to climb the guardrails and get in was shot and killed. And now they're trying to portray her as a fucking hero and a martyr. Look, I feel bad when anyone dies. Maybe Osama bin Laden and Adolf Hitler. I didn't really feel much for them. But like this person that died, I'm not going to say her name, but she was clearly brainwashed by people like Tucker Carlson, by people like Donald Trump, into thinking that, one, Trump won the election, even though he didn't. He's had every case thrown out. He's had multiple recounts in different states. They all came the same way. In fact, some of them actually came out worse for him than he originally predicted. But they continue to push this big lie, and people like this woman believed it, and she was so, she loved her country, quote-unquote, so much, she had to do something about it. So when they attacked the Capitol on January 6th, and again, I stress, they attacked the Capitol on January 6th, she was shot and killed in the act of it because she was so brainwashed into believing that. And now they're trying to portray, instead of trying to portray it as they should, of this poor, unfortunate woman who was brainwashed by her country, which is scary, they instead try to portray her as a hero who fought and died for what she believed in. And maybe she did fight and die for what she believed in, but what she believed in was wrong. It was fundamentally wrong. It was objectively wrong. And now people like Tucker Carlson are trying to cash in on that with shit like this. This documentary that talks about the quote-unquote true story behind January 6th. There have been other politicians. I remember one. I can't remember his name. Thank God, because I don't want to remember his name. Who said that if you didn't know any better and you just looked at footage of the January 6th event, you would think that it was just tourists touring the Capitol. If you didn't know you were watching it on CNN and they didn't tell you it was an attack, you wouldn't have even known. Are you fucking insane? Like, you can be a Republican, you can be a conservative, you can defend Donald Trump and continue the lies, but when you are presented with facts and factual evidence to then just blatantly lie about it and get away with it is insane. Is that the country we live in now? The half of the country that Tucker Carlson is referring to in this domestic war on terror is actually a war on facts. This is the same presidential, whose staff said that he was presenting alternative facts. You remember the term alternative facts? We've talked about this before. There's no such thing as alternative facts. The things that these people are trying to push, this narrative that January 6th was peaceful, that Donald Trump won the election. None of it's true. The factual evidence, which is the only kind of facts, are facts, says that Donald Trump lost the election. And if you have eyes, if you watched it live or you watched any clips of the January 6th attack, you will see it was an attack. These people rioted. They bust down gates. They were attacking police officers. That's not peaceful. But Tucker Carlson is going to create this new documentary that says it was. And the sad part is, even though it's clearly propaganda, even though it's clearly a lie. So many people are going to buy into this shit, and they are going to promote it, and they're going to take this as fact without fact checking. They're just going to believe it because Tucker Carlson told them to. I feel journalists, and I use the term loosely when it comes to Tucker Carlson, people like Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity that are late night hosts, they're not journalists, but they are on a news network. So there are a lot of people that watch this and think of them as journalists. They have a responsibility. Journalism has a responsibility to be unbiased, to present facts, actual facts and truths. That's what the news is. And I know I've had an argument with my cousin about this for the longest time. I should have brought his ass on the show, but I'm recording this at like 9 a.m. and out in California, he's probably still in bed and I don't blame him. But we have a responsibility to present things in as facts as we find them. You can throw opinion in to journalism and news. I do, obviously. That's why I have a podcast. But you cannot overwrite facts with opinion. You can have opinions about facts. That's fine. How you feel about something that is inherently true is okay. But when you create quote-unquote alternative facts, which are just opinions, and present them as truths, that is a problem. And both the left and the right, absolutely, I'm not trying to make this a one-sided fight, but right now I'm just specifically talking about the right. They do this to their own people, and their people eat it up, and they don't even question it. Now, I know some people that have. There are a couple people who were Republican, who were conservative, that changed their tune, and decided to leave that train. They got off that train and they decided to come to the real world where we deal in facts and truths. But that's not enough. There are so many people, half the country, like this bullshit documentary says, half the country is going to believe this. And they're going to take this as fact. And as long as people like Tucker Carlson are out there spreading these lies, and people like Donald Trump are spreading these lies, the country is never going to get better. And I'm starting to think that the country doesn't want to get better. The left hates the right. The right hates the left. It used to be a civil disagreement on policy, and now it is becoming actual hatred, fueled by people like Tucker Carlson. And it's absolutely ridiculous. He's been torn apart by so many people in mainstream media, by Republicans even. This documentary series called Patriot Purge and airs next week on Fox's streaming service, Fox Nation, has been it's been criticized to no end. And that doesn't matter. Absolutely does not matter. Full speed ahead on this crazy train. And let's see what happens. That airs next week. If you want to watch it, I don't know why you'd want to. I'm sure if you're listening to this show, you're not a fan of Tucker Carlson, because there's no reason at all you survived that last 15-minute rant. But if you did, we're going to move on. We're going to move on to something else really quick. Kyle Rittenhouse, I want to talk about him. I want to talk about what happened this week with the judge, Wisconsin Circuit Judge Bruce Schroeder. They're laying out the finalized rules for Rittenhouse's trial. Now, if you don't remember Rittenhouse, he was a 17-year-old who, during the protest last year, the protest in the wake of the police shooting of Jacob Blake, who that police officer, by the way, is not going to be charged with shooting Blake in the back 7 times. That's a whole other story. Apparently, that's okay. But when they're laying out the rules for the trial in this pretrial, Wisconsin Circuit Judge Bruce Schroeder said that the prosecutors are not allowed to use quote-unquote loaded words to describe the individuals that Rittenhouse shot, including the word victim. Schroeder said the word victim is a loaded word, and that alleged victim is a cousin to it. You will be happy to know, of course, that the same judge said that it is okay to refer to the people that Rittenhouse shot and killed, 2 people he killed, 1 he wounded, as rioters, looters, and arsonists. That's okay. But he cannot refer to them as victims. Are you surprised? Are you surprised that this is how the United States justice system works? He can't call them victims because victim is a loaded word. If you refer to them as victims, it could poison the jury to think that Rittenhouse is a monster and a killer before the, you know, they hear all the evidence and whatnot. I guess I get that. The evidence is clear because it was broadcast everywhere, and he admittedly did shoot and kill these people. He took it upon himself as a 17-year-old to deputize himself as a defender of peace. And by defender of peace, I mean shooting and killing people. But the fact that rioters, looters, and arsonists, he doesn't see that as loaded words. I mean, that's just as poisonous. It makes absolutely no sense that you would allow those words and not the others. He's clearly trying to bias the jury against these victims. And it's so obvious. It's sad. You could make, I don't even know. I'm trying to find the middle ground here and figure out what the thought process is behind this. You don't want to use one loaded word, but you're okay with multiple other loaded words. The people that were shot, as far as I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, guy that called us garbage people, if you know so much, there's no evidence that the people that were shot were quote unquote rioters, looters, or arsonists. They were there. It was a protest. They were shot and killed. You can't call them victims, despite the fact that they are victims. Like the one fact, there's that word again, fact, objectively true, is that they are victims. They were victims of Kyle Rittenhouse, who shot them. There is no proof that they were rioters, looters, or arsonists. So why is it okay to call them rioters, looters, or arsonists, but not victims, unless you were absolutely trying to poison the jury to maybe the judge's own personal beliefs? We said it before and we'll say it again. The justice system in the United States is kind of a joke. We've done entire shows about it over on Podzilla 1985. I say kind of a joke. It absolutely is a joke. And stuff like this is absolute proof that that is true. Kyle Rittenhouse, at 17 years old, I mean, you can look into the history of it. He had this inflated ego, thought he was justice. This is a vigilante, basically, who went and... I remember there was a clip of him. I don't remember if he was giving water to the police that were there during the protest, but they were very friendly toward him. Friendly to the point that after he shot these guys, he actually walked through the police and got away. And the police thought it was perfectly okay for this 17-year-old kid to be walking around with a rifle during these protests. These same police, by the way, who, I don't know how many of these specifically, but so many of the police force are threatening to quit the police force if they're forced to take a vaccine. That is a thing. We'll talk about that in the future. My philosophy on that, by the way, if you were to say, hey, Shannon, what's your thoughts on that? What do you think about these police officers who are threatening to quit if they have to take the vaccine mandate? I would say, fuck them. Let them quit. If they don't want to be there protecting the American citizens that they swore to protect, then fuck them. Let them quit. We'll hire better police. We need to do that anyway, so we can stop shootings like what happened, like the one that happened to Jacob Blake, like what happened to George Floyd. These police officers who don't have an interest in protecting and serving, which I think is literally like stenciled onto their fucking car. If they don't want to do that, which is the most basic of things you would do as a police officer, then let them quit. Who cares? Have you ever been in a job where the boss had to placate someone, where they had to kiss someone's ass to keep them at the job because they didn't want them to leave? I have always thought to myself, if that person doesn't want to be there, then fuck them. Let them leave. And it's especially true with police officers, because unlike most jobs where you have to do that, these guys carry guns and are hardly responsible for their actions. And also, fuck Kyle Rittenhouse. Last story. And we're going to get out of here because we're busy today. It is almost Halloween. And I told this story last night on Podzilla 1985. We have a show over there called Terrifying Tanner Thursday. And last night was the last episode of it. It was a lot of fun. Tanner, if you're listening, not as angry as I seemed on the show. We did trivia. And since I was doing so poorly at the trivia, which is surprising because I'm somewhat of a trivia savant, I am expert trivia. Apparently not last night when my friend Double H who's also on the show, got almost every question right, was clearly cheating. Tanner was feeding him answers because he was afraid that Hunter was mad at him because Tanner ruined Hunter's moonshine run. It's a long story. Don't ask. It's Red Dead Redemption. You don't need to know the details. But Hunter won. And since I was doing so poorly on the show, every so often I would try to throw in my own, you know, trivia or my own little, if I knew some facts about facts, again, about some of the things we were talking about. I wanted to be entertaining. It's my goal. Whether or not I am entertaining or not, that's up to you. I don't want to know what you think because it will hurt my fragile ego. But one of the stories I did tell, because we are so close to Halloween, and it is truly a story of horror, and it will shock you. I'm going to tell it again here, in case you didn't hear about it already on the news. And I'm going to quote this directly from MSN here, before we get into the meat and potatoes of it. A 35-year-old Houston-area woman and her 31-year-old boyfriend were taken into custody Tuesday, both of them charged in connection with the death of an 8-year-old boy whose skeletal remains were found Sunday inside of an apartment. Three other boys, ages 7, 10, and 15, were found abandoned inside the same apartment in western Harris County near Houston, according to the report. The dead child was declared the victim of multiple blunt force injuries, according to the county medical examiner's office. Authorities said the 15-year-old boy called for help around 3:15 p.m. Sunday and said his 9-year-old brother had been dead for a year, with the corpse rotting in the room next to his. The teen claimed that the parents had moved out several months ago, leaving the surviving boys alone. Gonzalez being, I don't know if I had mentioned this before, is the sheriff of Harris County, Ed Gonzalez. Gonzalez told reporters that the children were unsupervised for an extended period of time, but did not specify exactly how long. He said it appeared that they had some food available to them during that time, but the two younger surviving boys appeared malnourished with signs of physical harm when they were discovered. One neighbor said other residents of the apartment complex helped provide food to the boys, and the investigation is continuing, but the parents have both been arrested. So this is a doozy. So these two parents left these kids alone in this apartment while they lived in another apartment. And the father of these kids, or at least the male figure in the house, apparently beat one of the boys to death when he was 8 years old. Just beat him to death, from what this other kid said. And normally with murders and things like that, I mean, I'm not the true crime expert that Shelby is from PZ85. But what they normally do is they hide the body or they dispose of it in some way, but not in this case. In this case, the parents left this apartment. They went and lived in another apartment, which from what I understand was much nicer, believe it or not. And they literally left the rotting corpse of their 8-year-old son in his room in this house with these three other kids. These kids, the oldest one, apparently they weren't locked in this apartment, which is strangely enough, you know, they weren't barricaded in. They could leave whenever they wanted to, but they were too scared to leave, probably because they watched their brother get beaten to death and then his corpse left behind to rot. The oldest son would go to different apartments and ask for a charger for his phone. They knew something was up, so they would give him food. They eventually earned his trust, almost like a dog. That's what this story reminded me of. If you ever see, like, if you follow, like, the Dodo, which I do, and you see these stories about these abandoned dogs, they're chained up, they're so terrified of human contact, and they provide them, the dogs, with food, and they earn its trust. That seemed to be the case with this kid. They earned his trust over time. They gave him food. He apparently would only eat bagged food. He would eat candy, stuff that he could see hadn't been tampered with, because he was afraid of being poisoned. Probably, again, because he watched his brother be beaten to death and then his rotting corpse left behind. So they eventually got to the point where they could give him actual food. They bought him pizza, you know, stuff like that. And they knew something was up. They knew something was wrong, but none of the neighbors acted on it for whatever reason. It's not quite the level of watching a woman be raped on a train for 10 minutes and not doing anything. But this is over the course of, you know, months, a year of knowing that something was wrong with this kid and not speaking up about it because they were afraid of getting the kid in more trouble. And, you know, to be fair to them, they were completely unaware that there was the rotting corpse of their brother beaten to death laying in the bedroom next to them in this apartment. They didn't know, to be fair to them, but they also didn't say anything. Finally, this kid apparently texted his mom, who, again, lived in another apartment with this man that beat this child to death and left his corpse there. He texted her the same morning and said, "I can't take this anymore." He then called the police and told them that they were abandoned in this apartment along with their brother. And that's when the police discovered this horrible scene. The boy had talked about how he had watched his brother deteriorate from the, you know, beaten body of the brother that he knew to a rotting skeleton. Imagine that. Imagine that. If you're a parent or not, imagine watching, knowing that this person, if you're a mother, this person beat your child to death. Said it was an accident. Sure. Beat your child to death. And then you leave your child's rotting, dead corpse to rot in the same apartment as your other children. And you just leave him there. The mother said that she was afraid, despite the fact that there was no sign, no evidence of abuse to her. But I don't want to speak too much about that, because until we know more, I don't want to say there wasn't. But she was afraid that if anyone found out that her son was dead, they would take her other kids from her. I'm not a mother. I can't speak to what that must be like or how that feels. But all I can think of are these poor children sitting in this apartment. The smell, the sight of their rotting brother in the room next to them. If ever there's been something that's horrified me on Halloween, that's it. You know, I watch a million horror films. I don't wait till October to watch scary movies. I watch scary movies literally all the time. I know ghosts and vampires and werewolves, serial killers, old gods, you name it, I've dealt with it. Nothing shocks me anymore. I've been on this earth for a very long time, and as a journalist, I've covered a lot of terrible things. So nothing surprises me. Nothing shocks me. But something like this comes pretty damn close. To think of parents that would not only murder their child, but again, leave their corpse to rot with their other children. Absolutely terrifying. And that's where we're going to end the show tonight. On a high note, I want to wish everyone a happy Halloween. Again, if you're listening to this today before Halloween, or if you're listening to this after the fact, I hope you had a happy Halloween. Be safe out there. We're going to be partying it up at the Double H residence tonight. I've got my Oculus Quest. I've got my Nintendo Switch. I've got my laptop. We're going to have a good time. We're going to play Phasmophobia. We're going to play Diablo. We're going to have a spooky good time. And then next week, we'll be back for another episode of No Turning Back. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in once again this week. I love you. I appreciate you so much. Take care of yourself this weekend. Have fun. Be safe. Later.